This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you can be with us here on a Wednesday morning, SB Nation AM. Tony D, Ron Culver rolling along. One of the coaches that was fired on Black Monday over the weekend, well, after the weekend of football, was Vance Joseph out of Denver, as John Elway has decided to part ways with him. And listen, Vance Joseph was not a home run selection when he was picked. It wasn't a guy that was, man, everybody loves this, and it just didn't work out. He was controversial when he was selected to be the head coach of the Broncos, and he went 11-21, and that was it. John Elway's reputation in Denver is never, ever, ever going to be tarnished, no matter what he does with the Broncos. The Broncos don't make the playoffs in his time there, or they continue to struggle. When you win Super Bowls, two Super Bowls in a city, and you're kind of the prince king of the city, and you're the biggest athlete name that's solidified with that, there's no bigger athlete in Colorado than John Elway. It might even be a region of the country. So I say this next knowing that, right? I want you to know that too. But this is one of the reasons why guys are athletes who have a reputation and it's a good one and whatnot, don't want to get into the front office business because it's a tough business. And a lot of times you're going to get attacked in a way that's a little different than when you're on the field and you have control over it, right? We lost a game. I should have done better. We lost a game. I should have made that pass. I should have made that catch. I should have secured the ball better. I should have done this. When you're in the front office, you do the best you can and you hope the chips fall there. And it's not, you know, video game football where there's a computer program. Their guys are humans. Sometimes they'll work out. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll be well prepared. Sometimes they won't. And you've got to make those tough decisions. Sometimes you evaluate a guy at quarterback and he doesn't work out. Elway has swung and missed on quarterbacks, and now he's swinging and missing on this coach. He's going to go after another guy that is supposed to help this team get right back. Since losing Kubiak and Peyton Manning, the Broncos have been a shell of themselves. If Elway brings him back, it solidifies it more. If he doesn't, it'd just be a stain, but not a blemish on his entire reputation.
Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM, rolling along on a Wednesday. Bowl games in the books. We got one more left, Alabama and Clemson. Listen, I go back and forth with this. We've seen Alabama and Clemson a number of times over the years. This will be the fourth time they've met since the playoffs, third for the national championship. If you're a college football fan and you want the best, you got it. If you're a college football fan and you want anybody, chaos, six seed, you want an expansion of the playoff. As long as you have four teams, you're probably going to get this matchup. Dabo Swinney has done a great job at Clemson. He's got an NFL-style quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. He's got a very good defense. He's got a very good running back. And Alabama's been Alabama forever. These are the two best teams in college football. If you want this, if this is what you want, one versus two, college football gave it to you. It gave it to you. But if you want UCF to get a chance and Michigan to get redemption or however you want to put it, Florida, then you're going to need expansion of this. Expansion is going to mean that there may not be a one versus two when it's all said and done. Some years it will, some years it won't. But as long as college football continues to have an idea that the team that hoists the trophy is one of the best of the best of the best of the best, yeah, Alabama and Clemson is what you're going to get. It just is. They're two really, really good football teams. Now, we talked about the Patriots and the fact that, yeah, it gets old when the Patriots are in the Super Bowl all the time. I'm with a lot of you on that. I'm not a Patriots fan, so when I see them all the time, it gets annoying. And it might get annoying with Alabama, too, and it probably is for a lot of people. But, you know, when you think about it, the NFL doesn't pretend that the Super Bowl is the best of the best of the best. It's just the team that won when the postseason starts. And in college football, we don't want that. In college football, for whatever reason, we want the team that's better than everybody all season long to be the champion. And it just doesn't work out that way. In sports, we don't do that in any other sport. We do it here. And the reason I bring that up is because I want to talk about UCF. Because we're probably going to close the book on UCF for a while. What did their loss to LSU mean? And what does it mean for the non-Power 5 conferences? The haters of the Knights are going to point to this game and say, you know what? Mackenzie Milton or no Mackenzie Milton, there were so many times where they didn't look like they belonged. And that would be a legitimate point. But you know what? Michigan didn't look like it belonged against Florida, but it's still Michigan. The bowl games shouldn't have to have that much power in how we view teams and their programs. And yet we do. The SEC went X and, you know, X wins, X losses. The Big 12 had a terrible bowl season or whatever it is, however you want to put it. But the reality of it is bowl games are a game. They don't matter. They're a game. And there are tons of factors that go into how those games play out. Some players play it because they want that extra game, or they want to stay with the team, or they want to continue to boost their resumes. And some teams, LSU had players that weren't playing. Mackenzie Milton didn't play for UCF, but LSU was down a few of its defensive starters too. So the reality of it is bowl games are great, but they don't tell us anything. The sad part for UCF is this, okay, like Boise State. You can knock and knock and knock on the door to the party. When you get invited, you've got to go in and you've got to continue to earn the invitation, even if it's unfair that you had to do it. If UCF had won this game, oh boy, imagine the ammunition that they would have had when you have a Notre Dame team that looked like it absolutely didn't belong in the playoff in the first place. But they didn't. Mackenzie Milton or no Mackenzie Milton, it didn't matter. They didn't. And instead of saying, you know what, that's still a really good football team that just lost a bowl game to another really good football team, the narrative is, did they belong? Did they fit? Do they look the part? Do they look like they belong in the conversation of the best teams in college football? If there was an 8-team college football playoff, that UCF would have gotten in, and UCF would have deserved to get in, and it wouldn't have been a gift. It wouldn't have been anything like that. They deserved it. If we're talking about a UCF team that needed to beat LSU in order to have any sort of say for next season, well, the committee doesn't want to hear that because the committee has already said, we don't even look at last season. So what did they have? What did they have here? The only thing they had was, if we beat LSU, especially with the backup quarterback, I guess we'll just hasten our invitation to one of the Power 5 conferences. That will mean that the Big 12 will call, or the ACC will call, or maybe the SEC wants to expand. I don't know. But that's really it. It stinks too, because if that's all you can do is you have to win games and other teams don't, that does set up a system that's a little off. Nobody had to win their bowl game outside of the playoff. Nobody had to win their bowl game more than UCF. Nobody. I mean, Michigan didn't have to beat Florida. Michigan was down defensive starters. They didn't. It wasn't going to cost anybody a job. UCF had to win if they wanted to continue this conversation of, hey, it's us against the world. Now I'm wondering, when they stand on the pedestal, is anyone going to hear them?
All right, but are they knocked out of the top 25?
No. No.
But I mean, it's one of those questions where there is hesitation. I mean, obviously, yeah. The end of the year poll is going to come out. They'll be out of the top 10. They'll still be in the top 15.
Yeah, they'll get love for this loss.
I'm looking at the beginning of next season.
Yeah, no,
no. Are they still considered a top 25 team?
That's a great question.
Season?
Yeah. Because Mackenzie Milton is unlikely to come back. He'll redshirt. You know, he'll do that full recovery of that nasty injury.
Yeah, but it's UCF is a team where there is a disrespect to that conference.
And, oh, of course.
You know, for us to sit here and go, oh, no, they're still a top 20 team. We don't know that. You know, we look at who they play, and it's like you're not playing anyone worthy.
You're not playing anybody
of top 20 caliber, top 20 ranking.
And the sad part is that the whole time I was watching the game, I was looking at UCF so differently than any other team in the bowls. You know, of the bowl games I watched, I didn't look at any of them and say, would you fit this puzzle? Right? Like, I would watch it and, all right, whatever it is. UCF, I was watching them going, all right, is that a SEC-like offensive line? Or could that offensive line do well in the Big Ten? All right, if they were in the ACC, who had a down year, what do they look like? And that wasn't fair for UCF because they're not going to another conference, so they are what they are. And, you know, going to another conference is more than, you can't just run to another conference tomorrow. That's a long process. So I was looking at them going, wow, if they did this every week against an SEC school, what would their record be? Well, that's not fair to them. They're undefeated. They're playing LSU and they're trying to beat them. And then they're trying to take that win and trying to make a larger statement. But it's a larger statement they're not going to get, because you're right. They don't get to stand on the soapbox this offseason. They don't. Fair or unfair, this loss takes that away from them. And if they bring up Mackenzie Milton's injury, one, it's disrespectful to Darrell Mack, who did an admirable job. He only threw for like 97 yards in the game. He did the best they could. But it also looks like whining that you lost your best quarterback and there was no next man up mentality.
No, it's excuses.
It's excuses.
We can find another excuse to why, you know, UCF lost, or why, you know, why they should remain in the conversation, why they should still be considered, you know, one of the top-tier teams in all of college football landscape. You just come up with excuses. I mean, we can do that with every team, though. But it does feel different. I was with you. I looked at this team, and I'm like, you know what? They're a scrappy, scrappy team, and they're just fighting their way through it. And at times, you know, you looked at them like, you know, is LSU really that good?
Right. And
you know,
here's...
And I mean, that was no disrespect to UCF, but you look at LSU, it's like, oh, this should be a blowout.
And here's the UCF was ranked 8th. LSU was ranked 11th going into the game. Replace UCF with, oh, give me a big name in college football. Maybe Miami didn't have a good year, but Miami's a big name. Let's say Miami was an 8th ranked team in that game. Big, you know, traditional kind of one of those schools. That would be a good win for LSU.
Yes.
Does this feel like a good win for LSU?
No, I mean,
does it feel like a win like they beat UCF? No, because UCF doesn't carry sort of weight.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like an upset.
No, it doesn't feel like exactly.
And that's what it should be. I mean, Texas beating Georgia, that's an upset. We are looking at that as an upset because Georgia should have just, you know, roll stomped all over the Longhorns last night. So we look at it like, you know what? Texas, if you saw a headline that said Texas upsets Georgia, you're not arguing. You're not,
no,
yeah, that's fine.
No, that's
but
fair.
By that same rationale, LSU upsets UCF, you're like, oh, that's wrong.
Nope, that's misleading. Wrong. That's wrong. Because if it was reverse, it would have been UCF upsetting LSU, and that would have been legit. That would have been legit.
You could literally put number 8 UCF upsets number 11 LSU. We're all still on board with that. Like, yeah,
yep, exactly.
Makes all the sense in the world.
It was just weird because, again, that's not, if I sat down with people from UCF, that's not what they wanted me to do yesterday. They didn't want me to watch their game and evaluate their defensive line and whether or not it could handle a week to week schedule in the SEC. It's an irrelevant way to look at the game. But that's what I was doing because I was like, well, how am I supposed to judge this? How am I supposed to judge this team? Like they keep telling me they're one of the best and they're playing this bowl game against one of the better teams in the nation. And I need to know if this would be consistent enough, if what I'm seeing would be consistent enough in a 12, 13 week schedule, would it be consistent enough to warrant a invite into the college football playoff? Why? Because of something I mentioned earlier, there's no path. It's all, you know, it's all determination by a committee, and the committee does do that. Oh, your conference is weak. Okay, but I'll still judge you against a Big 12 schedule. I mean, it's unfair to UCF in a lot of ways, but that's just the reality that they're living in.
Yeah, the only thing that's for certain now is that we might finally, what, it's been at least 2 years, have a unanimous national championship.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Coffee poll, you cannot do
it. Yeah,
you
can't do it. Nope, nope, nope.
Was it called the coffee poll?
Yeah, something like that. Right. 800-777-2907. It's Tony D and Ron Culver on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, rolling along on a Wednesday morning. Glad you could be with us. 800-777-2907. You can hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Hit Ron up as well at Ron Culver. You got to spell that with two N's, though. So... All right, I want to make a... Remember I said I saw Bird Box, and I couldn't recommend it?
Yep.
One of the movies I did want to recommend that I did see over the holiday week was Into the Spider-Verse, the Spider-Man cartoon.
Okay.
It was good.
Was it?
It was good, yeah. I was looking for something to watch, and I was like, well, Into the Spider-Verse would be good. I didn't think it was going to be good, and it ended up being pretty good. So, I'll recommend that. Aquaman, I heard, was terrible.
I've heard that, too.
Yeah.
Oh. I've heard critics loved it, but the audience was going, oh, God.
That's so amazing. Cheesy. That's so amazing that we get that disparity sometimes, where critics love a movie and the audience hates it, or the audience loves a movie and critics hate it.
Yep.
It's amazing that really, that sometimes the two sides just cannot come together in agreement on what makes a good movie and what doesn't. Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. Two sides can't come together in all walks of life in the great United States.
Exactly. That's why I don't like making recommendations to people. Like, there's nothing worse when you make a recommendation to somebody.
I can recommend
and they
something.
Go, oh, I hated that movie. And you're but I loved it.
We rented this movie Christmas Day for, to sit down, after Christmas Day dinner because we were all feeling a little bit better. But we finally got around to watching Christopher Robin. I will recommend that movie to anybody.
Oh, okay. I probably should run and see that.
You should see it.
My wife's a big Winnie the Pooh fan. I'm sure she's already seen it.
Okay. I was about to say, how did she not see it?
She loved it. She loved it. I got it for her for Christmas, so it's in our house.
Turn it on. Why'd you watch? You should have watched that yesterday instead of Bird Box.
Nah, because I was buying if I'm going to watch it, I'll probably watch it with my wife and, But Bird Box. Oh, are you kidding? I thought it was going to be wall-to-wall horror scary. But it was all right. It was all right. So I did this once where I recommended a movie to a friend, and then I watched the movie with that friend, and I thought, oh, they're going to love it, and they didn't like it, and I felt like I wasted their time. It was just a bad experience. So I usually go, oh, I liked it. You might. I don't know. Whatever. So... But my kids went to go see Aquaman, and they came home, and I said, hey, how was the movie? And they go, oh, it's terrible.
I've heard the same thing. I've heard it was just no one's liking it.
And well, can I ask a question? Because I'm a superhero guy. Like, I collected comic books when I was a kid. Aquaman was never a big comic book person anyway.
No! He was always the one they made fun of.
Everything was, all the villains would be, and then Aquaman would be in the water going, I can send a dolphin. What do you want?
Seriously. I mean, because it was all about Justice League.
Right.
Right. Spider-Man or Superman and the Super Friends or whatever it was called. If they were all out in the middle of a desert, how good is Aquaman really going to be?
Right. Did nothing.
You can't do anything.
You can't use him.
So, I mean, you have to curtail, you have to make every fight like, oh, no, no, we can't fight in the desert. Let's go to the ocean.
What do you do with the guy who can talk to fish? How can you make that work for you?
I don't know. Now, I've heard this.
Oh, if there's only way if I had a sea of orcas, I could beat this. Oh, luckily we have a guy that can talk to orcas who can rally them to our cause.
Yeah, now I have heard this, though, that Jason Momoa is really good in the movie, and he's quickly stealing all your wives.
Oh, totally. Okay, very good. Very. That's what I need right now.
Yeah, that Jason Momoa has stolen your wife or your girlfriend, your significant other.
Yeah, that's right. Because there's nothing better than watching a guy who's built like a rock and my tub of goo and comparing the two.
Yep.
Why would you want that Adonis-looking Greek god of a man when you can have roly-poly, cuddly, all teddy bearish me?
Yeah, your wife's in the poo.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm more poo than...
I had somebody tell me that one time. I said, my wife likes Winnie the Pooh. And this woman went, she married Winnie the Pooh. And I'm like, what? She meant it as a compliment, but it just came out wrong. And I'm I know what you mean.
I don't know. You were going on about honey earlier today.
Yeah, that's right. I'm woofing that stuff down, man. Are you kidding? I'm buying it by the gallon. I don't know. You buy honey by the gallon or you just buy it by the bottle?
I thought you buy it by the hive.
No, I don't know. You just buy it by the hive. My cousin's a beekeeper. Her and her husband make their own honey. You know,
and say, you got a morning sample?
Well, can I listen? I love my cousin. She's a great, great, great person. And her husband, they're two perfect people for each other. But I don't like honey that much to have 50,000 bees in my backyard. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Like, I don't need 50 or 100,000 bees in my backyard so I can have fresh honey.
You know they have more than that.
Whatever they have, a million?
Probably.
Is that what it is? Right? Like, I don't want to go near that just to have, like, I can go to the store and buy honey. I don't need to scrape it off the honeycomb if that means I got a million bees in my backyard in some boxes.
Yeah, what's the appeal to that, by the way?
There's none. There's no appeal whatsoever. And I really do want, like, one day we'll be at a family function and I'll ask her, like, I'll just pull her aside and go, explain the beekeeping thing to me. Like, what is it that you get out of that, like, I get out of golf?
I get raising chickens, raising cattle, sure. Doing all that. I totally get that. But just having a bunch of white boxes in your backyard with creatures that want to kill you?
Exactly.
Where's the fun
exactly.
in that?
When I hear people dying because of a bee attack, my first thought is it's got to be the most horrifying way to die. I mean, maybe getting eaten by a dog or something. I don't know. I mean, imagine a million bee stings everywhere. And I'm thinking, you got to wear a suit and a hat. And, you know, that honeycomb better be delicious if I'm going to have a million bees in my backyard. Are you kidding? So one day I'll ask her about it to see, like I have hobbies. What do you get out of beekeeping that I get out of mine?
Air.
I should have her on air. Just explain this craziness.
You know, we just want to know more about beekeeping. We're curious.
And I know there was a time.
Minds.
I know there was a time where like the bees were in danger. Like we wouldn't, you know. So maybe people are bringing
bees
them back.
Bees will never be in danger. Bees will be.
That
around.
Was all. That
They've
was all
been
a
around
farce.
A lot longer than us. They're gonna find a way.
It was all from Big B. They were all just knocking us down.
Big B.
Bees are gonna die, so you better be, you know, buy their product so they can stay afloat. So, but man, like I love honey, but man, I don't want to know how it's made. I don't know. I don't want to be involved in the process. Just take that stuff, put it in a bottle, put it on a shelf. That's where I'll get it. Okay. That's all I need. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know anything else about it. And I have no interest in putting it all together. But yeah, she loves it. I mean, they put pictures on social media about the beekeeping.
Oh, sure.
Oh, they love it. Are you kidding? They love it.
Beekeepers.
That's a great way to put it. Totally proud. They don't have kids, so I'm sure the bees are like their quote children. Like next with the, I mean,
got a million mouths to feed.
Exactly.
You know, they probably make the best kids. You don't spend any money on them.
Nothing.
And they provide food for you.
Provide honey. How great is that? All right, 800-777-2907. We'll give you our thoughts on the playoff weekend coming up next.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. We're rolling along. All right, so the Colts and Texans, Seattle, Dallas, those are the Saturday games in the NFL. Chargers, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Chicago, those are the Sunday games in Wild Card Weekend. Now, listen, when we get to the playoffs, I mean, all the games stand out, right? I mean, look, we're at a point in the Wild Card Weekend where, look, I mean, this is the NFL. That razor-thin line between the top team and the worst team is thin. So you can imagine what playoff teams, how thin it is. Seattle-Dallas is intriguing to me. Did either one of those teams at any point make you think that they had fixed whatever was wrong with them and they were on the right track? At any point. Maybe Seattle midway through. But did Dallas ever figure, like, do we ever get an identity for Dallas? Do we ever figure out that Dallas, or was Dallas just winning games and, like, everything was moving along? Or was Seattle a team that we really, really liked because we wanted to like, because they were doing something that was, like, they were succeeding off of the script that they normally have been succeeding on?
I don't have faith in either team.
No, I don't either.
I think obviously one of them's going to win, and one of them will go 1-1, the other one will go 0-1.
Right. Yeah.
Guaranteed. I mean, when you watch the Cowboys play against the Giants, that looked like a team like, oh, they are marching to the Super Bowl.
No doubt. Nope. Yeah. I mean, look, Russell Wilson has had a good year because, and again, I think a lot of it was, look, Russell Wilson is having a good year, but this is not how normally we've seen Seattle have success, and he's playing really well. He's kind of taking the next step. Dallas, I mean, throughout the whole year, Dallas, you know, ran the ball with Ezekiel Elliott well, but Dak Prescott would have pretty good games, not very good games. Defensively, they were really good, like the night they beat the Saints. This is intriguing. This game, to me, I like the, you know, I kind of like the matchup. It's like 2 10-6 teams, like 2 kind of different 10-6 teams. I like the matchup, but again, I don't feel like confident in either one of these.
Game on the line. Do you feel Dak Prescott's going to lead you to
victory? No. Not at all.
You need a fourth quarter comeback. You need a 2-minute drill drive. Is Dak Prescott your guy?
But boy, this turned out a lot better than I thought it was going to be for Dallas at one point. Remember the one point they were what? 3-5? Their offensive line had been kind of, a lot of injuries. It was with Travis Frederick had the neurological situation, right? They've had guys coming in and out of the lineup, you know, hurt and whatnot. Leighton Vander Esch has turned out to be a fantastic defensive player. Prescott is just, I know people they're looking for 2016 Dak Prescott. I think that time is gone. I mean, there's a settling of Dak Prescott now that I think the Cowboy fan is just going to have to deal with. The guy that will do some things well and then miss a wide open guy on 3rd and 8. And that's it. And that's the quarterback you have. But the addition of Amari Cooper has worked out fantastic. Amari Cooper's already their leading receiver. Like, when did he join the team? Like week 10?
Like 5 weeks ago. Right?
I mean, God, like, he's already the leading receiver on the team.
That's not saying much.
No, not really.
I mean, I don't know if that's a bragging point. No. You know what? He found a home. We've skewered Jerry Jones for, what did he give up? 3 first-round picks? 4 first-round picks?
Right.
Right? And we were like, God, that is, you paid way too much. No one else. They were outbidding themselves. They were bidding against themselves, and he gave up way too much. That may turn out to be a good steal during the trade deadline.
Yeah. Ezekiel.
But, I mean, yeah, it only feels like he's been with the team for about a month, month and a half.
Yeah. I think Ezekiel Elliott's going to be going crazy against Seattle.
Yeah.
They're going to run him constantly.
Get that feel. But that's the thing. Seattle, that's what Seattle's main thing's been all season is that, we focus a lot on Russell Wilson, but they've had a really decent running game this year.
Yeah, they have.
And we'll see if they can run against the Cowboys, but I don't know. Out of all the games, that one to me is like, you just don't have a good feeling with either one. I don't see a long run in either team.
Yeah, and the game earlier on Saturday, the Texans-Colts game, this is one of those games, I swear, that scares me from the standpoint is Indianapolis, it's like, all right, first 6 weeks of the season, let's find out what we do well. And then when we find out all the things we do well, let's just do that the rest of the way. Right? Like, we don't need to be good from the start. Let's just figure it out as we go. And then, whoop, all right, that's clicking, and off we go. And that's been the way.
Man, they've been clicking.
Man, they have been really clicking. Really clicking. And I know I was critical of their Bills, Raiders, Jags, Dolphins win streak. I know. But, man, when I watched them against the Titans, I was like, okay, this is a really dangerous team. 4,600 yards for Luck this year with 39 touchdowns. Got a year off with that injury. Now he's fresh, ready to go. And Luck, I mean, this is the thing with Luck. Remember how great, like, if you needed to stink because you needed to get this guy? And now he's in a position, he's got a pretty good team at, you know, going on the road. I'd be careful if I was Houston.
I would be too. I mean, you're this team came into your house, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and beat you handily. I mean, it wasn't even – Texas looked good, but it was a solid victory for the Colts. And at this point right now, that's probably the worst matchup. For ball, though, I almost wish that the games were flip-flopped. I wish Chargers were going to Houston, and I wish the Colts were going to Baltimore.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because then I would have a much better feeling about for my team, obviously. But both these games, it's like, God, you know, the team that should win might not win. Just
right.
Because it won't bode well on paper. And then, I mean, maybe that gives us a great matchup, because then you'd have the Colts going against the Chiefs, the Ravens going against New England. Then maybe the Ravens can finally exercise those demons against New England.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Texans, to me, is great because, listen, I've always said the Texans are, when healthy, they're so entertaining. You know, Deshaun Watson and Hopkins and J.J. Watt defensively and whatnot. So I'm glad they're going into the postseason healthy. I'm glad this is the Texans team we're getting. Because the Texans team that was 0-3 to start the season was kind of figuring their way around. It was remember that conversation? It wasn't that I thought the Texans were going to have a bad year. It said I thought the Texans were, okay, 0-3. How many 0-3 teams make the playoffs? Right, not very many. How many 0-3 teams go 11-5?
Yeah. How many of them have a 9-game winning streak?
Yeah, 9-game winning streaks, right? So that's, I want that to matter. And listen, it's weird that one of these teams is going to lose, because both of these teams have dangerous weapons around them, and both of these teams are going to be, I don't know, they're just on this upswing leading the end of the season.
And there's a glaring difference right now, and all the more reason to have, you can make the argument to have a college football playoff. When you look at the AFC side, you have six teams. Now, they all have different records. They all have different skill sets. They all have different strengths. But I can make an argument for all six of those teams representing this, being the Super Bowl. On the NFC side?
There's no surprise.
On the NFC side, two, maybe three.
Yep.
Two, maybe three.
If you're a team that can get through the Saints-Rams or Rams-Saints, however that combination of it, God bless you.
Right.
I mean, God bless you. But a Charger team getting through, Kansas City and New England, that's totally plausible.
Yep.
That's completely plausible.
And you can make
the same case about the Ravens or the Colts or the Texans. However the path goes for any of those teams in the AFC, that's completely completely legit. But to look at a Cowboys team, and again, no, this is not a knock on the Cowboys, but
it is.
Come on.
Come
on. Like, when you look at the Cowboys, do you see a team that could seriously run through and beat the Saints again? With Sean Payton and Breeze figuring them out again?
Or figuring out how to beat the Rams? Come on,
right?
Now.
I mean, that's a hard thing for me to grasp. But listen, even a Baltimore team, right, that needed to beat the Browns to get in, even a Baltimore team with their defense and Lamar Jackson kind of being an unknown yet, we got to watch a lot of stuff on him and see what he does. Even that team, it's plausible that I can see them go on. Yes, absolutely. Harbaugh, especially Harbaugh, the one factor in all of the wins against the Patriots has been Harbaugh, right, on the sidelines. They've given the Patriots plenty of hard times in the postseason. And that game against Kansas City at Arrowhead, that was a good football game. And Kansas City eked out. So even the Ravens, the final seed in the AFC, is a team that is capable of going through, absolutely, completely can see it. But I can't see it on the NFC side. You're 100% right. I can't see it on the teams that are represent. I don't see it. Maybe the Eagles, but no, because the Eagles are...
There's no way the Eagles can do it, but if they do...
If they do...
Nick Foles has got to be the highest paid quarterback in the league.
What are you doing with them? What are you doing? If Nick Foles does this, change again. The name of the town. Are you out of your mind?
He does it again.
If he does this again, I can't...
It'll be a lot harder this time because, you know, last time they had home field advantage. This time they don't.
Here's the deal.
They've got it. He's got to go on the road and do it in everyone's house. If he's able to do it, oh, dear God.
If he's able to do it, they're only going to name kids after him. The parents are going to change their names. Are you kidding? I mean, golly. Listen, I lived an hour outside Philadelphia when they won that Super Bowl last year before I moved. And it was, I just loved it for, as an outsider, listening in and watching the news and just watching people go, oh, finally, they won a Super Bowl. Finally. I never thought I'd see this day, blah, 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 blah. All of those superlatives of those teams that are just aching for a championship and finally get one. But if they do it twice, if he does this again, oh, my God, forget it. Forget it.
I mean, it's not possible. I don't know if I want to be in a world that allows that to happen.
Listen, if you're going to go to New Orleans and you're going to beat the Saints, you better bring to your earplugs, or you better be working on with a lot of speaker noise. That place is going to be electric. Absolutely electric.
I'm not putting it past them that they can get by the Bears.
No,
I think that's totally doable for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the Bears have a rock solid defense. We're not going to even argue that their defense is there, but I don't believe in Mitch Trubisky.
No.
That's why, you know, when we were talking earlier, the NFC definitely have two teams that will make the Super Bowl, possibly three, just because the Bears defense could get them there.
Oh, no kidding.
And they can go like the Peyton Manning Broncos route where, Mitch, you just do what you have to do to be serviceable, and then the defense will take you there.
All right. So there's our thoughts on the weekend in the National Football League. 800-777-2907. Wrap up the hour when we come back on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. So did you watch any of the ball drop or anything like that on New Year's Eve?
Nope.
Nah. Nope. It wasn't good this year.
Was it? I mean, how good can it be? It just drops, right?
Right. I don't know why people do this. My wife was always like, I want to go see it. I'm like, I'm not going to stand there for 13 hours.
God, I had that feeling once a long time ago. And then I realized that you literally have to get there almost like a day and a half beforehand.
Yeah, and you got to wear like a diaper because there's no bathrooms. You know, just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun.
No, it doesn't. All the musical acts don't really want to be there because it's cold. Yep. It was one year Mariah Carey was out there and they played a song and she didn't rehearse it. So she just was like, I'll let the audience sing.
Exactly. Like, people going off like, oh, look, Mariah's drunk on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
New
she was like, Eve. Like, I'll just let you all sing. No. How about you sing?
I don't know the words to my song.
You're the artist. I'm the viewer. You sing. It's great. Oh, New Year's Eve.
It just doesn't sound like fun to be standing out with that many people. You know, it's New York City. I mean, it's a scary place anyways. I'm not a huge fan. I'm a little intimidated by the size, the sheer size and magnitude of it. I mean, I remember the last time I was there was with my wife. It was in 2000. And she came away with the most perfect feeling. She felt claustrophobic.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
And I couldn't imagine being shoulder to shoulder with tens of thousands of other people to watch a shiny ball that I'm not even going to have a good view of.
Yeah, drop. I remember my wife and I were talking about like 20 years ago, we went to a like a Jeff Foxworthy concert in Vegas at the Thomas and Mack Center. And that's how we opened up the new year. Like radio station was sponsoring it, getting us tickets. And I was like, you and I have never done the big New Year's Eve extravaganza downtown, wherever, fireworks. We've never done that.
I did once. You know, did once. It was a big party held at Qualcomm Stadium. And it was all in the executive suites. That's where the party was.
Yeah.
And I got to see Jim Blossoms.
They performed. Oh, not bad. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. You're like one of the last people that celebrates the new year on the West Coast.
We are.
And then you head out in the ocean, all those islands kick in.
No,
and
I mean, I celebrate finally Hawaii as well.
Yeah, pretty cool. Well, what now, at that time, what time does the ball drop in Hawaii? When you're in Hawaii, what time
midnight.
Is that?
Duh.
No. In Manhattan. Like, what time Manhattan? Does Dick Clark's New Year's rocket
eat? That's like 6 hours early.
So that's like six at night.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? The funny thing is, you wake up in, when you wake up in Hawaii, Australia's already celebrated.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
You're
waking
up in a world that's already, it's already in 2013. You're like, it was never really that big of a deal in Hawaii.
So that was a 6 hour time difference from Hawaii to New York.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You'd be watching the news, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's what New Year's look like here and there and this place and that place. And it's still daylight and sunshine. Like, oh, I'm glad people are enjoying the nighttime festivities. They look cool.
You know, I had resolutions that I ripped up like the second New Year's the ball dropped. I was like, rip. I'm not doing these.
Oh, you can't start them now.
Go
you
to the gym? Wait. Forget it.
You got to wait
Diet?
A week.
Are you out of your mind?
Wait a week.
Keto? Forget it. Eat more vegetables? What are you, crazy? Yeah, exactly. Be more loving and caring? What's the matter with it? Throw it away. SB Nation Radio.